Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to the book of Judges. We are continuing our study through this book of a people who sound an awful lot like us in our culture, in our country. People who repeatedly are rescued by the Lord and blessed by the Lord and then decide, okay, let's try some other gods. And it never works out when you do that. Never. Judges chapter 10. This is God's word. After the time of Abimelech, a man of Issachar, Tola, son of Puah, son of Dodo, rose to save Israel. He lived in Shamir in the hill country of Ephraim. He led Israel 23 years, then he died and was buried in Shamir. He was followed by Jair of Gilead, who led Israel 22 years. He had 30 sons who rode 30 donkeys. They controlled 30 towns in Gilead, which to this day are called Havoth-Jair. When Jair died, he was buried in Kamon. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. They served the Baals and the Ashtoreths, the gods of Aram, the gods of Sidon, the gods of Moab, the gods of the Ammonites, and the gods of the Philistines. And because the Israelites forsook the Lord and no longer served him, he became angry with them. He sold them into the hands of the Philistines and the Ammonites, who that year shattered and crushed them. For 18 years they oppressed all the Israelites on the east side of the Jordan in Gilead, the land of the Amorites. The Ammonites also crossed the Jordan to fight against Judah, Benjamin, and the house of Ephraim, and Israel was in great distress. Then the Israelites cried out to the Lord, "We have sinned against you, forsaking our God and serving the Baals." The Lord replied, "When the Egyptians, the Amorites, the Ammonites, the Philistines, the Sidonians, the Amalekites, the Maonites oppressed you, and you cried out to me for help, did I not save you from their hands? But you have forsaken me and served other gods, so I will no longer save you. Go and cry out to the gods you've chosen. Let them save you when you are in trouble." But the Israelites said to the Lord, "We have sinned. Do with us whatever you think best, but please rescue us now." Then they got rid of the foreign gods among them and served the Lord, and he could bear Israel's misery no longer. When the Ammonites were called to arms and camped in Gilead, the Israelites assembled and camped at Mizpah. The leaders of the people of Gilead said to each other, "Whoever will launch the attack against the Ammonites will be the head of all those living in Gilead." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. The last part of that flows right into the next chapter. Why are we not doing that? Because we need to see what's in this chapter. This chapter starts out with two judges who get very little press. After the time of Abimelech, now Abimelech, remember, was a bad guy, and he did bad things. He was an assassin. He was an idolater. He was a horrible guy. But after his bad leadership was ended because God turned these bad people against that bad guy, and they all fought and everybody died. After that had happened, God raised up a man of Issachar, Tola, son of Puah, son of Dodo, rose to save Israel. He lived in Shamir in the hill country of Ephraim, and he led Israel 23 years. Then he died and was buried in Shamir. 23 years they had this guy. And the only thing it says about him is who his ancestors were. Okay, I mean, there just wasn't a lot to report. You know, what did the newspapers cover during this time? Weddings, funerals, that kind of thing. There just wasn't a lot to say. 23 years. Well, the fact that there wasn't a lot to say was a good thing. That means there was peace, there was prosperity. Israel was at ease. It was good. And when he died, the Lord raised up another. He was followed by Jair of Gilead, who led Israel 22 years. So 22 and 23, that's a long time. That's a generation. Just over a generation of peace, ease, prosperity. What tends to happen to people when they've got it easy? Sadly, these people were no smarter than people today. When things were good, they began to feel like they didn't have to be good. They could experiment. They could try something else for excitement. And so they forsook the Lord. Verse 6, again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. They served the Baals and the Ashtoreths, the gods of Aram, Sidon, Moab, gods of the Ammonites, the gods of the Philistines. Plural, by the way. Okay? They served the Baals and the Ashtoreths, the gods of Aram, Sidon, Moab, the gods of the Ammonites, the gods of the Philistines. What happens? It's not just these two. Those were the two main ones, but there were all kinds of idols, all kinds of demonic presences associated with those idols. And guess what? If you serve anything other than the one who alone is God, none of those idols will satisfy you. You have to have lots. You got to have this, and you got to have this, and you got to have this, and you got to have that. I told the folks in the first service, it's kind of like eating sugar. The more you consume, the hungrier you are. It's true. If you start consuming it, you want more. You're never satisfied. You're always hungry. It's an addictive thing that triggers stuff inside you to make you want that, and you can't get enough. And that's one reason why in the New Testament we read that greed is idolatry. The nature of greed is never satisfied. One of the richest tycoons in American history asked, how much money does it take to make a man satisfied? And he said, just a little more. Just a little more. That was a wise answer. He was giving the man a clue about the nature of trying to be satisfied with money. It'll never do it for you. It'll never be enough. It's never enough. If you don't serve the God who is God as God, you will always be looking for something else to add to the collection. So, these folks forsook the Lord and served the Baals and Ashtoreths and all these pagan gods. And because the Israelites forsook the Lord and no longer served him, verse 7, he became angry with them. He sold them into the hands of the Philistines and the Ammonites, who that year shattered and crushed them. When God said, okay, I've seen enough, and God says, I'm turning them over to their enemies, that year they were shattered and crushed. Do you ever wonder if that's going to happen to our country someday? Do you ever wonder if at some point God's going to say, enough? I'll tell you this, if God turns us over, we will be shattered and crushed. There is no human power that we can trust in who can rescue us from the wrath of God.
Psalm 145 says, one generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. Have you heard about Legacy 145? This program gives you an opportunity to provide a safe haven for future generations of children at Ware's Valley Ranch. While at the ranch, children from all across the country have their practical needs met, but most importantly, they hear about a Heavenly Father who loves them so much that He sent His only Son to die on the cross to pay for their sins. Healing and hope are found at the ranch through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And your legacy can continue that message to children in crisis. You can learn more at wvr.org. Click on the Legacy 145 button. That's wvr.org. And click on the icon that says Legacy 145. Or you can give us a call at 866-41-ABIDE. God bless you, and have a great day.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, there's a refrain in this book, and that is, the people did what was right. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. But as we've said before in studying this book, there's another refrain over and over, even more times, and that is verse 6. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. In their eyes, they were doing what was right. Seems like the thing to do. Yeah, I think this will work. Yeah, we ought to give it a try. But everybody was doing what was right in their own eyes. But what they were doing that was right in their own eyes was evil in the eyes of the Lord. And the problem in our culture right now is that there are all kinds of things that people are saying are perfectly fine. There's no problem with this. I think it's the right thing to do. God says it is evil in my eyes. God has given us in His Word instruction about what is right and what is wrong. And if we disregard what God says and do what seems right to man, we're doing evil in the eyes of the Lord. And there will come a time, if there's no repentance, when God simply hands us over to our enemies. And at that point, we will be shattered and crushed. So when the people were shattered and crushed, notice it happened in a year. That year, they were shattered and crushed. And so immediately the people repented and said, oh, God, we are so sorry. We've completely messed up. Is that what they did? No. They had to endure 4 years of it, followed by 4 more years of it, followed by 4 more years of it, followed by 4 more years of it, and then followed by 2 years of it. 18 years. 18 years. How many administrations is that? Okay? They might have even changed parties. But it's no picnic. It's no party at all. They're shattered and crushed. Disaster, and they didn't even realize what was going on. They were continuing not to turn to God. They were continuing to worship false gods, to try to find their satisfaction, their meaning, their peace, and things that cannot satisfy. Is that not a picture of us? How broken is this land? How long before God's people will fall to our knees and beg for mercy? After 18 years, verse 9, the end of it, Israel was in great distress. Then, verse 10, the Israelites cried out to the Lord, we have sinned against you, forsaking our God and serving the Baals. The Lord replied, when the Egyptians, the Amorites, the Ammonites, the Philistines, the Sidonians, the Amalekites, and the Maonites oppressed you, and you cried to me for help, did I not save you from their hands? But you have forsaken me and served other gods, so I will no longer save you. Go and cry out to the gods you've chosen. Let them save you when you are in trouble. But the Israelites said to the Lord, we have sinned. Do with us whatever you think best, but please rescue us now. Then, don't miss this, they didn't just pray, they took action. Then they got rid of the foreign gods among them and served the Lord. And he could bear Israel's misery no longer. It's one of the most amazing statements in the scriptures. God could bear their misery no longer. Why? Because this is a glimpse of the heart of God. Why would God send his only begotten Son into the world to die for us? Because he loves us. He loves us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When we were dead in trespasses and sins, he made us alive in Christ Jesus. All of us, let me remind you of what Ephesians 2 says. It's just staggering. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. That's our resume, okay? It's not some of you used to do bad things. All of us were in this situation. All of us. The only hope for anybody anywhere is Jesus. Well, what about those who are living in a remote area and have never heard the gospel, but they're doing the best they can? No, they're not. You weren't either. We weren't doing the best we could. We were lost. We were following the ways of this world. We were following the prince of the power of the air. We were doing what our sinful nature told us to do, trying to gratify its evil desires. That's what we were up to. That's what they're up to. That's what they're up to. That's what they're up to. That's what all of us were up to. And so the idea that, well, you know, God has to make allowances for people who don't know better. You may not know that this thing you're doing is wrong, but you know this thing you're doing is wrong, and that too. So you can't blame your sin on ignorance. You may not know all 10 of the commandments, but you know you've broken some. Well, after all, nobody's perfect. Yeah, actually, God is. He's the one who sets the standard. And all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. That's why we need a Savior. So these folks, when they get miserable enough after 18 years, 18 years after the year where they were crushed and shattered, 18 years of misery, and they finally have been miserable long enough, and they cry out to the Lord. I know people right now who are still in the 18 years. I mean, they're not happy. Talked with one not long ago, and I said, why do you keep this up? Well, you and I both know. It's because I don't want to stop. Yeah. That's the reason. Why don't you do this? I don't want to. Who's the God of this place? I guess that would be me. I've just got these lesser gods that I try and bring in to satisfy me. It's not really working, but I'm not ready to repent. I'm telling you, this is not a unique situation. This is classic. That's why as you read the book of Judges, it keeps happening and happening and happening and happening. This is human nature. This is people apart from God. This is what we all do. But eventually, some people, if you don't think anybody died during those 18 years, you're mistaken. Okay? But some people, after 18 years of this, finally said, we've sinned. This is a bad plan. We need to repent. And they went to God and they said, we've sinned. And God said to them, I've delivered you over and over. Right now, I'm not gonna. Go cry out to the gods that you chose for yourself. See what they can do for you. Well, of course, the people knew those gods can't save. We've been praying to them. We've been miserable for 18 years. These things have not satisfied. And I love what they said. They said, we have sinned. Do with us whatever you think best, but please rescue us now. We know you're angry, God. You have a right to be angry. It's our fault. We've messed up. But we want to put ourselves in your hands. Do you remember David when he was given three options as far as punishment? He chose the one that would involve God. It's like, you know, I don't trust anybody else. I trust you, God. That is repentant faith. They're dealing with God not as a concept, not as an historical figure. They're dealing with God as the living God. And they're saying, we're going to trust ourselves to you. We know you may punish us. We don't blame you. Okay? Do to us whatever you decide is best, but please rescue us from them. We're going to trust ourselves to you. And then, having prayed that prayer, they took action. They got rid of the other stuff. There are time and again where the people who were God's people wanted God, but they wanted the other stuff too. They got rid of those foreign gods, and they served the Lord. And then it says, and he could bear Israel's misery no longer. I'm so grateful that verse is in there. Because as I said before, it shows that God loves us, even when he's angry with us. He loves us. He loves us. I read the Gospels over and over, and I find Jesus saying, as he breathed a great sigh, how long shall I put up with you? And I'm thinking, you know, Jesus is not like, oh, you're so cute, you're so silly. What a silly people, you know. This is just amusing. It wasn't like that. I mean, Jesus was like, really? How long do I have to put up with you? He not only put up with them, he died for them. He died for us. He died for us. How utterly astounding that God would send his son to die for sinners like us. He didn't come for the righteous ones. You know why? Because there aren't any. No one. Not one righteous. Jesus died for sinners. And therein lies my hope. Not in the fact that I have sinned, but that he died for me. My faith has found a resting place, not in device or creed. I trust in his unchanging grace, his blood availed for me. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. I hope you can say that this morning. I hope that you are trusting in his grace because there is no other hope. There is no other plea. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You know him?
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood,
www.legacy145.org.